231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition, a very special edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am thrilled because I have an old dear friend joining me in my home studio today, my first in-home studio guest I've had since the pandemic, and I will introduce her to you in just a moment. But first, of course, I have my blog post from a couple of years ago, and I think this one is a rather apropos one, which, again, I did not cherry pick this. This is just what was next on the list. And this post is entitled, "Trusting in Life is the Most Important Kind of Trust There Is." When we speak of trust, we often only think in terms of trust between people, trust between a husband and wife, or maybe trust between business partners. But there's another kind of trust that is far more important, a kind of trust that is far more fundamental to our lives, the sort of trust that makes everything easier. It is not the sort of trust we normally think of. In fact, we often don't think it even exists at all. It is the trust in life itself. The sort of trust that life is taking care of us, even when we can't tell. Trust that even though we might be in a difficult spot at the moment, things will work out for us in the end. It is a trust that there is a reason why we are here, and that life will reveal it to us when we are ready. Trust in life, of course, does not mean that everything always goes our way. Some pretty big challenges may come into our life. We may be pushed to our limits at times. There might be times when everything feels so out of control, when it feels like life is against us. And that is when we need trust in life the most. For life would not have brought us into being if that was all there was for us. Our lives are too precious for that to be the case. And trusting that life has something more in store for us is the surest way to get there. For now that we are born, now that we are alive, now that we still have our breath, we have an opportunity for things to change. Life doesn't want us to suffer. That doesn't mean that we never suffer, just that there is more to life than our own suffering. And as long as we keep trusting in life, we will find the end to that suffering. That's when our trust in life pays off. And when we suddenly go from suffering to thriving, our trust in life is not something for others. It is something to help ourselves live our life. And the more we trust in life, the more that trust is rewarded. So where in your own life can you trust in life a little bit more? How can trusting more in life change your life? So I wrote this a couple of years ago. And trusting in life is something I often talk about with clients and with people that I work with. And I guess I was reflecting back upon just all the craziness in my life, because I've lived such a bizarre, twisty, turny life that the only way to kind of get through all that, because I couldn't see what was coming next. I didn't always feel like I had the support under my feet. I didn't always know which direction I was going. The only way for me to survive all that was trust. And so it's something I really try to imbue upon you, my listeners, my clients that I work with, both for my coaching practice and my ceremonial work, that trusting in life is really what makes everything a little bit easier. And again, trusting in life does not mean everything goes according to plan. Does not mean we're not going to feel pain. We're not going to have loss. Things aren't going to be challenging at times. But what it does mean is that we have some kind of belief, some kind of a story that we're making a more empowering meaning of. That when we trust in life, that we're trusting that there's a reason why we're here, that things will get better, and at the very least, if we don't like where we are, that things will change. And for me, I've found that level of trust has served me the most. And it's something I try to share with people, as I did in this blog post. And I bet my guest will have something to say about this very shortly. So that's my blog post. And I think at this time of year, it's important to remember. And the title of that again is Trusting in Life is the Most Important Kind of Trust There Is. And of course, you can always find my blog at talkradio.nyc/blog or on my personally branded website, The Conscious Consultant. And now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome back to the show lecturer, author, and spiritual teacher, and someone I'm honored to call my friend, Selina Maitreya. Selina is widely known for her own unique approach to living one's truest daily life called practical spirituality. And so, you know, if she's into practical spirituality, she's my kind of folks. In 2013, Selina experienced a life-changing moment that reinforced the work she had done to live in love. A serious car event left her seriously impaired and brain damaged. Despite enormous challenges, Selina continued to feel blessed and was never concerned for her fate. Unable to sustain conversations or fully use her brain for tasks, she focused on constant meditation and rest. During this time, she was visited continuously by spirit. Messages were downloading daily, and she was informed that her life had shifted forever. It was clear that her practice of responding to all from love was the reason supporting her total certainty and positivity during this catastrophic period. At that point, Selina became entirely committed to a life as a spiritual teacher, devoted to helping others responding to life as love. She's experienced the teachings of practical spirituality under truly devastating conditions. And she also has come out with a book recently called Raise Your Frequency, Transform Your Life, which we will talk about Welcome back, Sabine.
Thank you, Sam. It's so wonderful to be here with you today.
It's wonderful to have you. We just have a few minutes before the break, but I'm wondering, for those who maybe didn't catch your previous interview on my show, which I can't even remember how long ago it
was. Very long time ago.
It was a long time ago. You probably
over
have to
8 years.
Yeah. Wow. So you probably have to catch that episode on one of the podcasting platforms. And I'm pretty sure it's entitled Practical Spirituality. But for those who haven't heard that episode, maybe just give us a little thumbnail sketch of what happened to you. You know, the car accident was a huge transformation in your life, but you had already been working on sort of your spiritual practice for many years, even before that, didn't you?
Yeah, for sure. My name, Selena Maitreya, was given to me when I was 16 years old by my first spiritual teacher. And I'm going to be, hold on to your seat, I'm going to be 70 this year. So by the time 2013 came around, which is when the car event happened, I had been a student for many years. But it wasn't really until my 30s where I met my current spiritual teacher and learned how to embody my spiritual practices. And embodying is really very different than just reading about spiritual practices or entering through prayer or yoga. It's using our daily life as the indication of where we're out of alignment with our spiritual practices. So I began that in my late 30s, early 40s, and was a single parent of my two kids for many years. And I was a consultant to photographers around the world. And I did some spiritual teaching out of my house, but very little. And Spirit had always said to me, when your kids are older and you sell the house, that's your time to let go of the consulting business and go full-time in teaching. So my connection to Source was very, very strong before 2013. And I've been a channel since the third visit with my teacher. So I had, by the time the car event happened, I had been a channel for at least 10 years. When I sold my house, it was my time to move on. My kids were off with the women they're now married to. I had done my job successfully and gratefully. And I moved to New York City, and I had worked for a year with my accountant to get it all set up. And on the way to clean my house for the very last time, I had an Audi convertible, a small car. Woman came through a red light with a large van, 70 miles an hour, and hit my little sports car. And I was left with a traumatic brain injury. I had a visit in the car through Source. I was knocked out on impact. And when I came to, Source explained to me the purpose of this event. And they told me that I'd be taken out of my life for several years so they could shift my energetic frequencies and download material to me. And I didn't know then what was ahead, but that was what happened. And I was left in a fairly, you know, in the third dimensional world, not a great place.
Yeah.
But in the other higher octaves, in a phenomenal spot.
Right. So you had, again, you had already been a channel. You'd already had a deep spiritual practice. And then this accident happened. I mean, you were in the hospital for how long after?
Not at all. And that's the surprising thing. They had to use the jaws of life to get me out of the car. I was taken to a local hospital there for 5 hours, and everybody was kind of blown away because I didn't have a cut or a broken bone, which was actually part of the message that Spirit gave to me in the car. They told me that. They said, you'll go to the hospital, nothing will be wrong with you, but in a few days, you'll not be able to have a normal life. And sure enough, 3 days later, I'm walking down a hall, not well, and it continued to get very bad until for the next 5 years. I basically had to have more rest than anything. And if I ever wanted to have people in my house, if you would come, or wanted to go out and do a teaching when I moved to New York City, I literally had to be in bed all day to be able to converse with people, because for the first 5 years, I couldn't handle light or noise or a lot of energy. And carrying on a conversation for more than an hour or two was extremely difficult. Yeah.
So really that required living from a lot of trust. Huh?
Well, it was trust and faith. And for me, that was automatic already because of my deep spiritual commitment. But this took it to another level, because in the car when I was knocked out, I experienced nothing. But I have the experience, as I look back, on what that was. Mm. And there are really no words to describe how amazingly peaceful and what an incredible place it was. So I now know, when I look back, Sam, that I was actually in oneness, the field that we all go to when we're just breath. So it was an exquisite experience. And so that opportunity continued on and still is. Now I have to work harder because my brain is healed. And when we have a healed brain, I discovered when my brain was ill that and not well, that the brain creates all kinds of barriers between all the energy fields so that we can actually even move through them. And now that I'm healed, you know, I need to go into meditation to experience oneness, where before it was just close my eyes and I was there. So that's where I spent the majority of my time. Yeah. That's where the book was downloaded to all those times.
Right. Now the book you just came out with, but the messages behind the book are something that had come through a long time ago, correct?
The ability to channel sources wisdom came through in my third visit with my teacher, that ability. Mm-hmm. But when you become a channel, there's shifts in your external life that you need to make to stay in integrity in order to be a vessel. So that continued to shift and change. And then once about a year into my recovery, Spirit started downloading the book, the actual specific material. So everything, my connection to source is clearly consistent with the material in the book, for sure. But the book, really, the material they downloaded, which I couldn't type. So I for 5 years recorded it on my phone. And then it took 2 years, when I was able to type, to transcribe those 5 years. This has been a project of many years. So it is all consistent, but the book is instructional. It's a workbook. So it has teachings and it has practices that go with the teachings to teach people how to do what they say. So it is a much deeper dive.
Wonderful. Okay, it's time for us to take our first break. So when we come back, we'll talk about what really the book is about, what's the main message behind the book, and maybe we'll get into some practical tips for our audience. Absolutely. For what they can do. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc. And we'll be right back with our guest, Selena Matreya, author of the book, Raise Your Frequency, Transform Your Life. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Thank you. And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, with my first in-studio guest since the pandemic, Selena Maitreya, author of the book, Raise Your Frequency, Transform Your Life. Really good book. Make sure you get it. Selena, you said before that you know, you had gotten sort of the ideas and the material of the book years ago, and it took a long time, took a number of years for you to sort of bring it together and actually be able to publish it. When you got sort of the downloads or the ideas for this book, what did you feel was like the main purpose for the book? Like, what is it designed to help people with?
Well, it's interesting. It's a great question. I want to answer the question, but I also want to share that I had no idea the purpose of the book, or the contents even, and certainly not the importance of it until it got published. Because, you know, I talk about trust, Sam. Since my car event, I don't sit down and create plans for my life. My life is totally directed by source. Okay. And so when they said move, I moved. And I moved 8 times in 10 years. Wow. And after living in one place for 24 years, and that's, you know, that takes a lot of trust.
Yes.
So when the book finally got picked up by Inner Traditions and they published it, and when you have a book that gets published, you're going over and over and over it. Each time I read it, I realized, oh my God, what an amazing body of work this is. Because this book teaches us how to take any daily difficulty, any piece of stress, any irritation, and literally utilize it to expand our consciousness and create more peace in our life. That's what the book is about. And as we all think about the world today, and our world, we know how much chaos there is in the world and in our world. And so this book teaches us how to transform all of the difficulty with practices and teachings. And that way, each time we respond, because the book works on responding from love, our natural inheritance, and talk about trust again. We're trusting in the divine within us. So in the book, we're introduced to our different multidimensionalities, because we're not one dimension. We're bodies and we're brains, but we're also energy fields. Yes. And it introduces us to the low frequency energy of the ego, our pain body, and the high frequency energy of the divine within us. And then it teaches us how to access the high frequency when the low frequency shows up. So we become aware, we become conscious of how we move in the world through the practices in the book. And then we have steps to transform in the moment that we recognize we're in low frequency, so we can go right out of that. And that's important, not only for our world, but for the field. Because in the field of oneness, which is the high frequency within us and outside of us, everything we do, everything we think, every emotion we have, every action we take also puts a vibration into the field. So at the same time that we're shifting our energy, we're shifting the energy in the field. So students often ask me, you know, or come to teachings and there, or to groups, or just lectures, and they're so concerned about the state of the world. And they say, what can I do to serve? And I always say, where's your consciousness? How are you bringing your consciousness to your everyday life? Because the first place that we all can start to not only serve ourselves, but serve the collective, is in our vibrational response to any chaos that lands.
So let's give like a really simple, practical example.
Absolutely.
Let's just say, I drive, but I don't drive a lot living in Manhattan. But let's just say someone's driving a car.
One of my favorite examples.
Someone cuts you off.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. Someone cuts you off. You're road rage comes up. What do you do? How do you stay conscious? How do you still connect with love when this anger boils up?
Such a great example. I love that one because it's one that everybody can relate to.
Exactly.
So one of the first things that you learn in the book is that the breath we breathe is actually the physical manifestation of the soul. Mm-hmm. Spirit talks about how when we come into bodies, the breath is the first thing that comes out of our body. And we're, as little infants, we're welcomed by the doctors, by our parents, because we're alive. Mm-hmm. And the breath is the last thing that leaves the body before mm-hmm. the body is there and the spirit is gone. So the breath that keeps us alive, that we take for granted every day, mm-hmm. is actually the physical manifestation of the soul. So when you're driving and you're happy or you're just quiet or you're distracted by whatever you're doing and somebody comes and cuts you off, the reason, and it's important to understand what happens, the reason people respond with the middle finger or mm-hmm. cursing or is because they're afraid, they're startled. So the ego, which is one part of our manifestation, the low frequency energy within us, mm-hmm. is really meant for that moment, for the mm-hmm. fight flight moments. Mm-hmm. But our egoic pain body, unfortunately, has a lot of influence on the other parts of our lives until we seek to shift it with the information in the book and our intention. So when that happens, when somebody is cutting you off, you immediately go into that fight flight. And in addition, we're conditioned to respond to any low frequency with more of the same. That's mm-hmm. how we're brought up in society. Mm-hmm. And so what happens now is we're learning a new lifestyle. We're mm-hmm. learning how when something happens that startles us, we stop and we breathe. We just invest in the breath. And you start to breathe, keep your eyes open if you're driving. Normally we close them, but you're driving, you don't want to close your eyes. Yeah. You can still do this practice. And you just breathe in and out of your nose, not your mouth. Nose breathing gets the parasympathetic nervous system, the physical nature, it slows it down. But when you just simply breathe in and out through your nose, you bring yourself back down to a level where you're not in the ego. Mm-hmm. So what happens really through the work, to use the language of the book, mm-hmm. is when an event happens and you breathe, you're going from low frequency of that fear, and your breath, because it's the physical manifestation of the soul, is your high frequency. Mm-hmm. And you can't be in the third dimensional world here, sick and well at the same time. You can't go up stairs and down, and you can't be in fear of that moment and love. So as soon as that moment of fear happens and you go to breath, you're activating your highest frequency because your attention on the breath activates the high frequency within you. And then your body calms down and you can bless them and send them on their way and you can continue on yours more comfortably.
You know, it's so funny because I get interviewed too on other people's show. I just did an interview last night and I often get asked, you know, what's the one tip or tool you offer to people? And I always say your breath. And I didn't have that language of how the breath is the physical manifestation of the soul or how it brings us to a higher frequency. I'm just like, just take a breath and give yourself the moment to take a pause and to give yourself some time and space. But now hearing you say what you just said, mm-hmm. it now helps to add even more to the importance of just taking a breath.
And, you know, I think that's really important because when we understand why it works, right. then we're able to take that from the breath to the other practices that are offered in the book. And all of the practices do the same thing. They give us the steps to be in an emotional moment. Because when you're in an emotional moment, we don't necessarily think about how do I stop this or know that it's even possible? But if we know beforehand that it's possible to shift and we know how to shift and we know, Sam, how simple it is. Our breath costs us nothing. Our breath is always with us. And once we understand that the high frequency within us is activated, not only through the breath, but through other actions we take that the book points out, then you're prepared for these moments, because everybody would love to be responding to difficulty from love. Everybody. But we need to know how. So it's the understanding of how we actually work vibrationally, because we're told all about our emotions. We're told all about our brain. We're told all about fear. In fact, fear is just what we're shoved down our throats all the time.
Yeah.
But we're never educated until we ask or we have the intention to learn about our vibrational systems. So what we're doing here in this new lifestyle is we're learning how to be responsible for staying in high frequency, because we now have the tools to be able to do that.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. That's great. And it's so important today, because there's so much tension, there's so much anxiety out there, that just learning to give ourselves that moment to take that breath, it helps in so many ways and so many things. I'm really
It does. And it goes beyond the breath, because there are times that other practices are called for to be able to respond from love when we're not necessarily in fight or flight mode, but we recognize at the end of the day that we end every day and we're just tense, or people aren't sleeping well, or people's relationships are falling apart. There are so many places in our lives that we work from fear instead of love. And what the book offers are different situations through stories and different teachings and practices, because we all really have the opportunity in this upcoming age of Aquarius here, astrologically, to make major changes and be positive forces in the collective as we create wonderful, peaceful, and loving lives for ourselves. That's the choice we have. And now we have the tools to do that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about sort of for you, the process of creating the book a little bit, and this maybe some surprises around, because you just said like you didn't realize something until the book came out. So I'd like
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Like to talk about that a little bit. Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking this hour with Selena Maitreya, author of the book, Raise Your Frequency, Transform Your Life. And we'll be right back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour. So, Selena, you said that when you published the book, you were kind of surprised a little bit about the importance of the book that you now saw. And I'm curious, in creating the book, in publishing the book, in talking to people about the book, really, what surprised you, or what kind of growth did you have to undergo to really bring this child, as us authors like to look at our books, they're almost like children for us, bring it into being. What was the challenge for you?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I had been published twice before in my past career, and I had never thought about writing a book, especially when I was brain injured. So being, when Spirit came through in one of their teachings and said, we're giving you a book, I was shocked. So that was the first surprise, was that I was going to be writing a book. And as it took 5 years to download the material onto my phone because I couldn't type. And then a while to transport. And then it took a couple of years before it was sold to a publisher, a major publisher. So when I was trying to sell it, Spirit said, put it down and start a work study group. We'll decide when to publish. And I am completely directed by Source. So I did. And I created work study groups where I took people through the 10 chapters in 10 months. And we had 10 people a group. So there was 30 people who went through this before the book was picked up by Inner Traditions. And it was amazing to see what they got out of it as well. And so in each step of the way, to answer your question directly, each step of the way, I was being sourced to be patient, to not have my ego drive the book, to continue to follow, as I did, a Spirit's direction. And I'm very transparent with my students and with my friends and podcast hosts. I am still a work in progress.
Yes,
We all are. And I always say to my students, any teacher that tells you they're completely evolved, run in the other direction.
Yes, absolutely.
Because they'd be off the planet, right?
Absolutely.
So I continually learned. I learned what a phenomenal book this was. I learned all of the things I had been doing in my life that I had been taught, that I had embodied, had much larger practical application for other people and not just for my own life.
So I have a quick question, and then I want to get into the embodiment piece. So you did workshops based on the 10 chapters of the book. I'm curious if maybe you can relate a small story of maybe a student who came through and what was the transformation they went through from going through the workshop.
Yeah. And it wasn't a workshop. It was 10 months. Every month we would get on a call together for two to two and a half hours. And I would introduce a chapter of the book and then the new chapter. Actually, we would come on to the call first and people would talk about the work from the previous chapter that they did, because it's a workbook. You need to use the information. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we would all hear all these changes people were making. And then I teach new work. So one of my students is a woman who is a CEO of a company, and she started the company with her husband and they worked on it together. And she really came into this program not knowing what she would discover, but discovered her contributions to the relationship that weren't serving the relationship. And she had thought it was all about her other partner who wasn't serving the relationship. And what she got to discover through the work on the program is she got to see where she could create changes in her life that greatly affected not only her life, but their relationship. And she just expressed how much freedom there was when she realized her responsibilities, and she was able to use the practices to shift them in the moment. And she's still, she's now in my master class, and she comes onto the class and shares with us very often how her life has continued to change in so many other ways, but how this one particular way is now showing the fruits of all of the labors. So when we, part of the philosophy of the book is that really we are seeking to shift into high frequency energy, which means we're seeking to work from love and to accept the responsibility for ourselves and the shifts we make. However, what we see with this work over and over, I see this, is when we make shifts in ourselves, the people that are in our lives, very often, whether they know it or not, start to make shifts. And what also happens is as we shift and change the frequencies over and over around any particular relationship or situation in life that we have difficulty around, we find over time, Sam, that those situations don't bother us at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it continually blows my mind.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, you know, a big piece of what you talk about is the embodiment aspect of this. And I think we all know people who, they may sit and meditate and have a good practice, but then they're constantly late for appointments. They're not very grounded. They're having a hard time. So how do people really embody these kind of practices and make it practical? Yeah. You know, your body of work is called Practical Spirituality. Yeah. So how do we take these very spiritual, energetic practices and make them truly practical in our lives?
That is such a great question. And what is so brilliant about this particular body of work is that it asks us to use our daily life as our practice.
Mm.
So it's how we're bringing this energy into our lives that has everything to do with the ability to make these shifts.
Mm.
Because if you go to meditation, and I love to meditate, but I love to meditate because it takes me out of here. And I'm able to go to a place of quiet. I'm able to leave the third dimension. But when you come off the mat, when you come out of the yoga studio, when you come out of the mosque, the temple, the church, what is your behavior like? So this is work that teaches us that it's our daily life, that we learn how to be aware of how we show up. We learn to see how we're showing up. Where our response when we show up is from fear or from love. And then the bigger piece of responsibility is once you recognize that, you choose in that moment to shift your frequency. And when you shift your frequency, it is a very real thing. You are shifting your frequency, and your thoughts and your emotions change.
What do you really mean by shifting your frequency? You know, sometimes we use these words and we think everybody knows what we're talking about. But what do you mean shift your frequency?
Frequency is energy. And science says to us that the brain does not create anew. The brain recognizes that which it knows and creates structure around it. And the structure it creates are our thoughts or feelings. So if we are in a place of stress, we are creating low energy. If we're open and expansive, if we're relaxed, if we're kind, if we're generous, it feels different inside. We're in high frequency. We're working from love. So whatever frequency is there, the brain creates structure around. So frequency can be experienced just by how you feel. If you're coveting something, if you're angry, if you're stressful, if you're furious, if you're impatient, if you're unkind, you're in low frequency. If you're expanded, if you're warm, if you're sharing, if you're generous, you're in high frequency.
I've heard it, and I think it came from the HeartMath Institute, I'm not sure, but I've heard that when they actually measure different frequencies, or like, you know, what the body generates electromagnetically, that actually gratitude is that one of the highest frequencies that we can be in.
And it's one of the many faces of love, you know, of the high frequency. So it's patience and tolerance and kindness and gratitude and grace, you know, giving yourself grace. And in my world, because there's so many different definitions of grace, in my world, grace is I've done my best. I didn't quite make it. I'm going to lay it down and try again tomorrow. And we can all benefit from having a lot more grace.
Yes.
So that's what I mean by vibration. You can feel it. Your emotional body is meant to be that messenger. So the emotional body is not meant to be a landing pad where you feel fearful and you dive in. It's meant to be an alert, so you know whether you're out of alignment with the energy of love or not.
And, you know, because of some of the work that I do and my wife does as a therapist and doing ketamine assisted psychotherapy, and we come across a lot of people with trauma, you know, they say that, you know, I think the unverified statistically, that something like a third of the population has experienced sexual trauma sometime in their life. You know, people experience emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse as children. And so then we grow up as adults, and if we haven't really processed or worked on that trauma, we start
responding from a very instinctual, traumatic way, how can we sort of use these practices to shift when we're stuck in our trauma?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think working especially with the breath is a very important place, because when we've experienced trauma, and being in a car event was incredibly
traumatic.
Of course. Especially not seeing her and having no idea that it was going to happen. And then afterwards, my entire life changed. You know, I went from working 100 miles an hour to not working. And I went from being more than financially comfortable to claiming bankruptcy. And I'm just now building took 5 years before I could do anything. So the breath is the first place I would send people, because that creates such an experience of relaxation. So just even in the moment, to give yourself, when you're feeling anxious or perhaps a memory comes back and you just are thrown off, go right to the breath. There's not one person I have ever shared this practice with that hasn't felt differently within 5 minutes of breathing. Mm-hmm. But if you're that person, give yourself another 5 minutes. Yeah. So something as simple as the breath, and there, as I had said, there are like 8 or 9 other techniques and practices, more than that probably, in the book, but they bring you to equanimity. When you're spiraling or you're anxious, I have a lot of students that come to me for anxiety. When you're anxious or depressed, you want to bring yourself back to neutrality. And the breath is a beautiful way to do that.
Wonderful. Okay, my friend, it's time for us to take our last break of the show. When we come back, you're kind of using the book as a launching pad for your mission. So let's talk about your mission when we come back.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour has been Selina Maitreya, author of the book Raise Your Frequency, Transform Your Life. And we'll be right back in a moment to wrap it all up. See you in a minute.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Selina, you mentioned how you kind of have a mission now that the book has come out. Why don't you share that with our audience?
Yeah. Once again, being totally directed by Source. Last April, I came out of a movie after watching a movie about the Mother Cabrini, because I used to go to the Cabrini Church.
Okay, yeah.
And I used to sit in the church during my brain injury days, and I wanted to learn about her. And she turns out to be the first American saint.
Oh.
It's a fabulous movie. Anybody should see.
I want to see that movie.
At any rate, I walked out and I got a channeled message for 7 hours. I was up all night writing down and recording. And Spirit said that, you know, it's not just a book, it's a mission. And that the rest of my life, my job is to take this body of work to teach people how to transform any difficulty through their conscious awareness, through the specific practices, into love is my life's work. Mm-hmm. And then I was to create, they downloaded the whole workshop, an all-day workshop to offer spiritual centers and spiritual churches across the country in order for the workshop, and the night before would be a community event as well around consciousness, to have this weekend event be not only educational for the community, but a fundraiser for the center. Oh. So I'm offering spiritual centers the opportunity to have a night before book event and an all-day workshop for free. There's no charge on my end. Oh, wow. I pay for all the expenses to get myself there and back. Wow. And their job is to work with me to create an event, and they get to keep the financing because our spiritual centers and churches need help to get people back in COVID.
Yeah.
And so we've already had one at the Hope Interfaith Center in Mankato. We raised a few $1,000s for them, educated the community.
Wonderful.
Had a great book event. I'm heading out to San Diego for the Universal a spirit center out in San Diego.
Wonderful.
Back to Minnesota in May. So if anyone is associated with an organization and they can just check that out, I'm happy to talk with them.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm calling on you, my loyal listeners, to, I'm sure there are places you go that are spiritual centers around the country. Get in touch with Selena and let her know if you can put her in touch with any director or manager of a spiritual center across the country. And you'd be willing to go to Canada, right?
Oh, anywhere. Yeah, because, it's all synergistically set up so that everyone from people who can't afford to come to the workshop, they can come the night before and learn a technique and either purchase the book or just hear about this and learn the technique to shift their life. So they're served. The people in the workshop are served by your deeper dive. And the center is served by having this opportunity to share with their network, their community, but also make some considerable money for the center. And then I will eventually get students from this because people are going to want to dig in
because this
is a body of work that we need to continue to work on and shift our frequency.
Yeah. Yeah. Before you said you're still a work in progress and that if any teacher says they're not, run in the other direction. I totally, totally agree with that. So I'm curious now, you live really like so in alignment with my blog post, trusting in life, trusting in source.
I do.
What challenges you today? Mm-hmm. Like what kinds of things cause you a pause for a moment or step back? Because sometimes I feel like people think you get to a certain level and then like everything's rosy and you never have any challenges.
That's such a great question. Yeah. I will tell you that I am very excited because I have made some tremendous progress in one place that I've really articulated that has always been difficult for me. And that is the desire to always want more. Spirit showed me so long ago, Selena, everyone who comes into form because the soul has come into a body to accomplish something and to accomplish a shift on the earth. And your piece, and you each have individually pieces that are consistent that you'll see through your lifetime that you're working on. And yours, clearly, Selena, is, years ago, I didn't have as much gratitude for what was. And I was always wanting more. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a teenager. A teenager, I wanted to leave home. And on and on and on. And I've gotten really good now at being in gratitude. And every once in a while, I find myself wanting more than what's happening, or wanting something to happen more quickly, wanting something to happen in a different way, wanting something in my life that's not there. And when I do it, I recognize it and I transform it. So that is the piece for me. I think that I've made so much progress with and continually work on. And I think that's so important that we can be transparent like that because everybody has stuff.
Yes.
And maybe even some people listening will recognize within themselves not being in gratitude as much.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And so I go there all the time now. I just love it. I just think it's
beautiful.
So helpful.
Beautiful. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So your book, Raise Your Frequency, Transform Your Life. What do you personally hope people take away from the book? Like what do you feel like if people just got this one thing out of the book, it would have made all the effort worthwhile for you?
Yeah, to use it as a workbook. to know that this is this. Sure, you can go through this book and open it and get a message. Sure, you can read it through and there'll be pieces of wisdom. You'll find yourself highlighting things and post-it noting all through it. And all of that is great, but I'd love you to use it. Start from chapter one and start using the book, and or look and see which chapter really speaks to you more and start with that chapter, because you can do that. You don't have to do it chronologically. Anywhere you start is great, but use it as a workbook. You can also go on my website, Practical Spirituality with Selena, and put your name out there for our next work study group, which starts in July. We just started one in October, and you can work with me directly on it. But if that's not of interest, or you don't want to wait, get the book now and use it as a workbook. Do the work. That's what transformation is. You know that. That's how we truly make changes, is when we learn how to shift in the moment.
Wonderful. So just one last question, kind of a big question, because I feel for my audience and for most people, the world is such a crazy place now. We're facing more polarization than ever before. It feels like there's more war going on than ever before, more violence. There are families being split apart because of political beliefs or whatever. Climate change is affecting more. I mean, we just had the longest running drought in New York State in 150 years. And now the people are concerned about artificial intelligence taking away their job and other things. How do you feel about, like, kind of where we're going as humanity, as a race? Are you concerned? Are you hopeful? Do you see a way through? What can you give people to when they're thinking about these big things that maybe can help people to be able to shift when they're feeling a little concerned?
Great question. I think if we read the news and we just take a note on where humanity is at by media, we're not going to get the same result as meeting people one-on-one. People are good. You know, we have people who have suffered quite a bit and they make choices that aren't good. We have people who are mentally ill, no doubt about it. People are good. For the most part, nobody is born bad. And I think that's important. I also think it's important to assume the responsibility of our own actions, how we show up in the world. I think when we see a lot of difficulty, I remember the rabbi who was going around when I, before I moved to New York, offering workshops, and he would draw a circle and ask somebody to come up to draw. And he'd say, he'd give him a challenge. He'd say, create a yin without a yang being created. And you can't. Because as soon as you create the yin, you create the yang.
Right.
His lesson, he was a Kabbalistic rabbi, was when you create light, you create dark. Light, dark doesn't exist without light. So if you see dark, you know that there's that much light. And if you want to contribute to that light, learn how to be that light and put that light into your world in the collective. And that means granularly looking at your life and where you're not showing up as light and being committed to shifting that.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's really taking the piece that we are creators.
We are.
And that we can contribute to the world in a way that we like by just how we show up. What's the energy we show up with? What's the love, the gratitude?
It's true. Because we not only are we creators, but we're also manifestors, and we're energetic receivers, and we're energetic projectors. And so there is no greater work to shifting the world and to make sure we're showing up, as you just so beautifully said, from positive vibration. Yeah. I believe there's no greater work than that.
Beautiful. Selena, thank you so much for taking the time to come over today. And thank you for being my first in-studio guest since the pandemic. And thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in. Selena, real quick, I forgot, if people want to get in touch with you, learn more about you.
PracticalSpirituality.com. A Practical Spirituality with Selena, S-E-L-I-N-A.com. And just write me an email. Love to talk.
Yep. And the book, Raise Your Frequency, Transform Your Life, available from all major booksellers.
Oh, yeah, all over the world.
All right. Wonderful. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in. Without you, there is no show. And don't forget, if you missed any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and on all the major social media, all the major podcasting platforms. Please stay tuned. Coming up next, it's Mind, Body, Health, and Politics with Dr. Richard Lewis Miller. Later today, Frank About Health, and tomorrow, Tommy DeMisa and his show, Philanthropy in Focus. Thank you all for tuning in. We will talk to you all next week. Don't forget, next week is the last live show of the year, and then we go dark for a couple of weeks and take a break at the end of the year. Talk to you all next week.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.